Our second passage for the day comes from the Gospel of Matthew. Let us listen for the word of the Lord. You are the salt of the earth. But if salt loses its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under a bushel basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to the whole house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the laws or prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth pass away, not one letter, not one stroke of a letter will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of the commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I'd like to, again, thank you for having me today and next week. It's an honor to be with you. Next week, I might not fit into this robe, so your guess is as good as mine. Currently 7 months pregnant with a baby boy, so it's an honor to be with you here in my very round figure. This passage that I've read from Matthew is still a portion of the Sermon on the Mount, which is better known not for this passage, but for the passages right before the Beatitudes. Here, Jesus is continuing to say to us that the way the world is not the way that the kingdom of heaven is. The Beatitudes remind us that we are all equal in the eyes of the Lord. All equally sinners, all equally loved and blessed. And it is our job to see that the world functions in this way, where no one person is valued above another. Today, this passage teaches us that winners are winners and the losers are also winners. But today we will all leave from this place and gather around a television to determine who is a winner and who is a loser. The way that the world works is not the way that the kingdom of heaven works. We have a 3.5-year-old daughter who's here in the nursery today, and she is very into racing. And of course, like each of us, she always wants to be the winner. But when it is clear that she is not winning, she will declare, "Mommy, this is not a race." To which I will respond, "Of course it's not. Now finish your dinner." If we are to be disciples of Jesus, this passage teaches us that we are either the seasoning of which will of the world with love, and we will illumine the world with grace, or we cease to be disciples of Christ, and we cease to live in the kingdom and participate in its present and in its coming. Jesus starts with an odd claim. He says, "You are the salt of the earth." Well, what is salt? Salt is a preservative, and salt is a flavor enhancer. Jesus is making to his disciples a promise about their very being. He is not commanding, let alone threatening. He's not threatening them about what they should be doing. Jesus is making promises and giving out gifts. You are the salt of the earth. You who keeps my laws, and you are what gives this land beauty. Salt as a preserver is interesting, for what is it that we are preserving? The last part of this passage speaks a great deal to the law, but I believe that when Jesus is asking us to preserve, he is not asking us to preserve the rigid law, nor necessarily the traditions of old. He is commanding us to preserve the law that is most important to him, and that, of course, is the law of love. A church in transition, much like yours, has much to think about when it comes to preserving. I pray that you all take seriously what is important for you to preserve, and what are you preserving? Are you preserving for God's sake or for yours? It is easy and dangerous for us as Christ to forget that we are to disorder the status quo by valuing those who are dispossessed, caring for those who suffer loss, seeking to do justice, showing mercy, having integrity, and being peacemakers, courageously standing for what we believe. Disciples who do not engage in such practices that humanize life on earth will be like salt which loses its taste. We are to be the disciples of Jesus, and either we season the world with love or illumine with grace, or we cease to be the disciples that Christ called us to be, and we cease to participate in the kingdom's present and coming. You are the light of the world. This, like the Beatitudes and the comparison to salt, is a sheer blessing with no strings. Jesus is describing that our brightness is a beacon to others for safety and refuge, because we are the children of the light, and the light shines through us. But we are not the light. We are gifts of God, but we are not God's gift. Amen? The word for shine in this passage is only used in one other place in the New Testament, and that is in the Transfiguration. Jesus is the light, the one true light. We are but the windows that light is able to shine through. Jesus' declaration of "you are the light of the world" invites us to consider the role of the disciples as the gathered community. Light enables us to see things and is a kind of energy that gives color, helps vegetation grow, provides solar power for electricity, can be focused for a specific use like a laser. Like light, the disciples are gathered as a community and have an overarching purpose for being the mirror that refracts God's light so that all peoples and all nations can know God's justice and mercy. As a gathered community, the disciples are like light when they engage others in the world, enabling diversity, nurturing healthy, eco-friendly world, and restoring or repairing whatever relationships are in need of such. These are the good works that glorify God. Jesus encourages his followers to bring light to a dark and broken world. The light is the light of the gospel, and it draws all people to warmth and radiance. The mission has been primarily and from the beginning and through every age. Archbishop William Temple is often quoted as saying, "The church is the only organization on earth that exists for those who are not its members." In order for the light to be seen, we must be willing to go where the darkness exists, to engage it, to walk through it, so that in time the light might overcome that darkness. Annie Dillard writes, "You do not have to sit outside in the dark. However, if you want to look at the stars, you will find that darkness is necessary. We must go into those dark places bearing the light of Christ. The light is not given for our own personal enjoyment." Jesus says that if salt loses its saltiness, it is garbage and to be discarded and turns to dust. And if we hide our lights under a bushel, then that light will no longer be a light, for it will be extinguished. The only way to be salt and to be light is to proclaim and share it. But if we are to be disciples of Jesus, we either season the world with love and illumine with grace, or we cease to be disciples and we cease to participate in the kingdom and its present and in its coming. It is all truly about identity, about our very being, which in turn leads us into doing. I invite you to look into your life over the last couple of weeks and think about the variety of ways God has used you to be salt and light. How have your words and actions been encouragement to others? How have your volunteering and prayers you've offered or protests you've been a part of or the promises they've made been at the seasoning of God's love and the illumination of grace? These seams may seem in and of themselves small, but don't forget, small is what God most often uses to change the world. God does not follow the human status quo in the world. The big things make a big difference. In the kingdom of heaven, it is the small things that make a big difference. To be clear, doing these things does not earn you anything. You have already earned. You are already blessed. I also find it important to note that in this passage, Jesus proclaims that even those who do not follow the law will enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, Jesus is telling us that we are already blessed. You are already loved. This time we're in is difficult for many people for many reasons, and we need salt and light in the world. And the crazy thing is that God has already provided it for us. You are loved. You are blessed. You are the salt and the light already. And God is not done with you yet. God will continue to bless the world through your prayers, words, and deeds as Jesus' faithful disciples. Jesus is making promises today and we are all about to be changed by them. The law has not changed. God has not changed. But we regularly change, and we regularly fall short of the kingdom of heaven. When we go to our Super Bowl parties tonight and cheer for the Falcons to win, that got way too big of a laugh. Let us remember tonight that in the kingdom of heaven, the winners are winners, but the losers are also winners. We are to be disciples of Jesus, and this passage teaches us that we either season the world with love and illumine the world with grace, or we cease to be the disciples of Christ, and we cease to live in the kingdom and to participate in its present and in its coming. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Please now stand and join with me as we state what it is we believe. Adapted from the Confession of the Belhar. We believe that the church must come together to know the height and the breadth and the depth of love of Christ. We believe that together we are built up to the stature of Christ, the new humanity. We pray that together and bear one's burdens, thereby fulfilling the law of Christ. We believe that we are called to admonish and comfort one another, to suffer with one another for the sake of righteousness, to pray together, and to serve God in this world. Amen. Amen.